Welcome to In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio, with your hosts, Dr. John A. Oliver and Willie Anderson.
In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio.
Bringing the CLE to your ear. Good sis, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. I do have aspirations. Someone dubbed me Dr. Sunshine, so that's what I want to do. Bring on some sunshine and shed some light on some things.
Well, we'll take the sunshine, especially here in Michigan. You know, we're one of the states that has the fewest days of sunlight. It can get to you, those low number of days of sunlight. So if you are Dr. Sunshine, we'll accept that all the time, anytime.
I think it's all in the attitude. And actually here in Austin, as you may well remember, it fluctuates. Usually we have sunny skies, but today it is cloudy. And so I'm going to bring some sunshine on a cloudy day, even though it's not the month of May anymore. It's June 1. Hello, June.
Hello, June.
So much as we were just speaking prior to this recording, that we know with COVID-19, the seriousness of that, the impact it's having on our community throughout the nation and, yes, the world. Pandemic.
Right. It's real. Yeah. I said it's real.
Very real. I want to say surreal. Maybe both, you know, perspective. But I do personally know of some folks who have been impacted, have lost family members due to COVID-19, or have been diagnosed with COVID-19 themselves. They are survivors. I know some who are survivors. Won't call names. I'm thanking God that they're still here.
I know that's right. So what was the story that they shared with you about what it's really like?
One of my friends basically said that she had come in contact. She didn't necessarily share how it was contracted, but she did get it, and she posted the information, and she shared with me personally on the phone how it impacted her family and her friends, and how being alone, but not alone, because people did reach out to her once they actually knew what was going on, but it's very draining. Mm-hmm. She's a fighter, a survivor, and her tenacity and, of course, the grace, mercy, and strength of God just help her survive.
What was her industry? I know people always like to talk about the frontline workers, but at this point, we're all on the front lines.
All these details, it would pretty much give it away, but she is an educator. She teaches youngsters. She's an artist, a dancer. Mm. That's one person.
Many others, right.
Many others. She wears many hats, but that is what I'm sharing. Then I have had colleagues who have lost relatives or someone, one of our students lost a parent due to COVID.
I know one of the things that we're looking at here in Kalamazoo is really thinking through how we can support our young people. And so then even understanding that the grieving process or the void that's created when a person is gone, and then having this social isolation, you know.
Right.
For, you know, good reason, good purpose, but it's still a matter of we're social beings. And so
Right. Even
those of us who acknowledge their introvert self, right, We still have that need, that desire for people. We just have it in different doses. And so for people who were in need of someone of that contact, that interaction, that gathering, that fellowship, Having that also being taken away or lost, inaccessible, self-imposed quarantine or sheltered in place for health, together, better together, apart, you know, that whole understanding of what this thing is, but it still creates another layer of loss. And so my heart goes out to you and to all of those who have that personal story.
I haven't asked you. What about you and your family, the impact?
It's been more frightening, you know, to be honest. I have family members who have underlying conditions, being borderline of conditions, right? It's like, well, how does that impact? You know, my mother, my brother, my sister. And then they have young folk around them who may not necessarily be at risk, but they could also be, I mean, complicit in inadvertently harming those who have conditions, right?
Yes.
And so that's been scary. I have had friends who've, you know, in health industry, they're like, yeah, I was exposed, I self-quarantined, you know, and it's like, it's no joke, it's real. Then others who are healthcare professionals or public health professionals, and they're sharing information on statistics and how it's impacting our area, you know, our region, you know, our city, our county, and what it looks like for the demographics, the breakdown, you know, people of color, you know, black folk, young folks, children, you know, what does it really look like and how do we really keep ourselves safe? And so, you know, that's been a major part. And then how it's impacting, you know, my little 7-year-old, you know, she's an outgoing, extroverted, social person, never met a stranger because she introduces herself and then it goes from there. But she's second grade now and having that part of her life kind of shifted or altered. So it's like, it's a lot that happens, a lot that's going on.
Sure.
And then, you know, that's the personal part, but then it's the work that we do. And so working with an organization that is really about connecting youth to basic needs and then providing them with support, you know, the organization Communities and Schools Kalamazoo. They are affiliates all over the country. Communities and Schools Kalamazoo. Knowing that we work with students who are overrepresented in a lot of areas, marginalized in other areas, and who have barriers that are just dealt to them from life. And so it's like, well, here are an organization of caring adults with business partners and volunteers, and we're trying to find ways to get them basic needs stuff, you know, and then get them academic support, mentoring, you know, mental, physical health, you know, vision care, dental care, you know, all of these things. And then now we have to add on pandemic care, right? So do our students have masks? Do they have sanitizers? Do they have the things that we know are necessary for them to remain safe for them and their families? And then we don't even want to get into the other pandemic that it's never gone away, but the pandemic of racism. And what that looks like in the face of social distancing and masks. And even get into the history of masks.
I was going to say the symbolism and the realism of masks.
Who wears them? Who gets to wear them? And who gets to wear them safely? And these are things that we need to really be honest and unpack if we're going to move forward with either of these things. If you have a real interest and you really want to have a voice and you want to see change and you want to be an ally and you want to be a supporter, you want to be a protester, you want to be an advocate, you want to be a spokesperson, now is definitely the time for you to actually do the things that have been placed on you to do or that you've chosen to identify that you believe in. And that goes all the way from our young people all the way up to our seniors and our elders. And so I look at it as our young people, we keep saying they don't know how to express some things because they haven't learned that yet. That's where the adults and the elders come in. We need them to continue to teach and share and express and be strong with and for us and the younger people because there's some things we just don't know.
Sure. And I would say that also out of the mouths of babes, as the old adage says, there is so much wisdom from time to time. My grandson, and this was shared by my son-in-law, who was speaking with my grandson, and he stated, you know, they always saying good evening, it's the news. He says, what's so good about it? All I'm hearing is bad things.
Wow.
And this was before COVID. That came out of the mouth of a youngster.
Right.
A wise youngster. So I still say we certainly have the responsibility of teaching them and guiding them, but there are times we need to stop and listen to our young folk.
So that learning process has to go both ways. It's a two-way street. So we're learning and teaching and learning.
Intergenerational.
Right. That's the link. And I think that's part of some aspects of what has been lost in community. Is that intergenerational connection where you learn on both sides, you work with together, and you get things done together. If there's something to be learned from that, both the energy and the wisdom, both the frustration and the patience, both the timing and the spontaneity, all of those things have an opportunity to come together right now at this point. And it's just a matter of how that energy is being directed. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we harness the energy? You know, energy can be productive or destructive. But then you see fire, you know, you see water, and we've learned how to, what do you say, capture lightning in a bottle. So at this moment, we can capture that lightning now and have that fire that's within a contained instance where it provides heat, where it provides what's needed to be done. Where you have the water where it's dammed up and it is forced through so that it creates the electricity that's needed. So we have this agitation that's happening. And now we have the energy to actually get that agitator moving. So if you think of within a washing machine, right? Old school agitators. Now they got all these new Whirlpools and Maytag, all stuff, smart washers. But anyway, so you got the agitator and it had this job. But if it doesn't have electricity, if it doesn't have any energy, any power, then what good is it? And then if it's agitating, it doesn't have the water flow and the clothes are in, what good is it? If it doesn't have the right type of detergent or, you know, all of those things have come together now where we can wash this situation, wash. And have it come out in a cleaner, more pristine way than it ever has. And so I'm looking at ways of, okay, well, how do we organize? How do we reorganize? How do we rethink? How do we reflect? How do we reimagine? And not just say, well, this is how it always been. Yeah, it has been and it hasn't been good. So how do we change it? How do we make it better like we do everything else?
All right, good brother. Going back to that same line of thought as far as electricity, you know, that same electricity that can be used for good, as you indicated, can also be deadly.
Yes. Unfortunately, for those who have worked with energy and electricity and those type of things, fires and water, all those, you know, the metaphors that I gave, people have lost lives.
Sure.
On the journey of learning how to use it, you know, so even the journeyman electrician, you know, knowing which tools to use, knowing that you have to be grounded, knowing that there are certain wires that you don't connect. You know, under being able to identify the currents, you know, being able to identify when it's safe to do certain things and how to do it.
The mask.
It's all of those things, right?
Because you talked about the mask metaphorically and, you know, literally. In reality,
right.
And I'm going back to that because actually this year I didn't know how relevant and how significant mask would be. I actually, you know, wore the mask as a part of a lesson that I presented about the mask we wear. It was during Mardi Gras time. And even prior to that, in October, of course, we had the mask, you know, Halloween, those things. But the mask that we wear, covering our pain, covering our hatefulness and racism, people wear masks literally. And we've seen so many things throughout the history, graphically. Some would say, and I'm going to go there, license to kill.
Well,
they hide behind the badge and abuse that privilege of exercising the law. And I understand the need for order, law and order. But when the law is out of order.
But well, let's since we're uncovering, we have to be real that after Jim Crow was supposedly ended, those individuals didn't disappear. So the openness of lynching and Jim Crow segregation, it didn't disappear. It was just legislated away. Those individuals were still who wore masks or who demonstrated racist ideologies, they still existed. And they went back into their business, back into their professions, back into the classroom, back into the churches, back wherever they came from, they still exist. And so some of those folks purposefully went into fields where they could have impact to do the things that they believed in. And so unfortunately, we haven't discussed that. We haven't rooted that out. And some of those individuals we see every day. And many of them are those who are now being recorded and filmed and caught doing the things that they have been doing, and you can follow the paper trails for these individuals for a long time. So the whole idea of the hiding piece, the hiding has been over. It's been in full view within organizations and institutions, and people have protected and explained away behavior rather than identifying what it is, the reality of it existing, and understanding that it's something that's not new, but it's just been transformed into new and newer times.
And the thing is, Doc, we do discuss it. We talk about it. And some are trying to do something about it. But it's like, what is it? What works?
Well, we know financial impacts work. Sanctions type things. That's what people in those mm-hmm. institutions and organizations understand. Even now in these times with COVID, it was mm-hmm. an immediate response to what could be lost. Not what had been lost, but what could be lost if the economy tanked like it was doing. Now, we look at this economy that's been booming for the past, you know, you can count the cycles for the past, you know, 4 years, probably 6 years, 8 years, you know, it started at the end of President Obama's, you know, terms. And right. it just continued. No, it started with President. Let me get it correct. It started with President Obama's first term,
right.
with the recovery of the recession from the housing and the GM and Bernstein's and the Lehman Brothers debacle. Mm-hmm. And it continued to rise throughout his presidency. And it just continued as current president, his administration. So the economy had been strong. So you mean to tell me after a couple months of downturn that they didn't have the planning and withal to withstand that? Where it had to be a point where it's a bailout now and the people are still waiting? The populace is waiting for some support, but the businesses, they have it. So
millions of dollars.
Trillions, right? Gone out. And so the idea of how and what to do, if it's a financial conversation, mm-hmm. things, the conversation is a little different. And so I know that there is Blackout 2020, Blackout Day 2020.
July 7th.
But you can, you know, hashtag it. And so that idea of, if just for one day, a purposeful withholding of dollars.
Confirmed July 7th, Blackout Day 2020.
And so the whole concept of withholding spending, I would even build up to get in shape for that, mm-hmm. to start buying from businesses that support you, that look like you, that show up when you need help, that have a record of contributing to you and your communities. And make
sounds
that
like Kwanzaa and those concepts, the fruit.
The Nguzas are right, the seven fruits. Mm-hmm. And so actually getting into that cooperative economics, mm-hmm. start practicing now so that on that day you're not out of shape trying to run a marathon. Because the consumption thing, we're in shape for that. Mm-hmm. But the idea of I'm not going to consume, like a fast, right? You got to be in shape. Mm-hmm. The fast, it'll get you there. Mm-hmm. But it'll mm-hmm. get you too. But hopefully it's getting you in the right way. But
and I'm saying fruit of Kwanzaa, the principles of Kwanzaa, the concept.
So the idea of a financial demonstration, that's mm-hmm. something that needs greater understanding and greater implementation. You know, people say, well, vote. Yes, vote. And also demonstrate that with your funds, with your dollars. Mm-hmm. Recycle your dollar within a community. Recycle your dollar. See how many times you can spend that dollar within mm-hmm. the community before mm-hmm. you have to go somewhere outside of the community.
Right.
And community, it doesn't have to just mean your block or the street. It's like the people who understand, connect, share the values and beliefs and principles. That's a community. So how do you spend there? And so I'm like, let's start getting in shape for that. Let's look up those places that have hair care products or that have cleaning products or that have whatever the product. It's like, well, let's find the basic needs that organizations, companies produce that are black owned, black run, people of color. And then we can even extend it to those who are not that support your community.
Because, you know, we have allies.
We have allies, right? And accomplices. You know, the accomplice is going to go with you. They're mm-hmm. going to be implicated with you. An mm-hmm. ally can just be like, yeah, I vouch for them. So we're looking mm-hmm. for both mm-hmm. allies and accomplices. Mm-hmm. Folks who are going to ride with us. You know, we use the term ride or die. I don't want to ride mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is like, well, if you rolling with me and you know this is who and what I'm about and you still with me, okay, you're an accomplice. If
then
you speak out, And go use ahead. Speak out and use your privilege, whatever that privilege is, male privilege, white privilege, you know, wealth privilege, whatever that privilege, and use it for the good of the community that I'm a part of, then yeah, we can go, we can do this.
Right. And I'll use another term or some other terms. You have a confidant, you have comrades, and then you have constituents. And I've heard that in a sermon, and more than one sermon.
Mm.
You know, it's similar to what you were saying, those who are willing to, you know, some are there just to see what you're doing. They may be there for a moment, or they may come in there with you to join forces to defeat an enemy. The only thing you have in common is that so-called enemy. Then those that will stay with you to the end, no matter what. I guess that would go back to that term, ride or die.
Ride and ride. Let's ride.
Yep, keep on riding and live on, live on. In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio.
Bring in the CLE to your ear.
All right, good brother. Anything else you want to share today?
Oh, I've always have something to share.
Well, we talk about music, you know. We always include that, rather.
You know who I'm listening
to
now?
The message and the music.
Right. I'm listening to Fela Kuti. And I opened up before you called in. I had Fela Kuti from his album, The Best of the Black President. I was like, oh, that's just enough right there. But the song is ITT Part 2.
Okay.
ITT
I'd like to hear that.
Part 2. It gets you going, gets you thinking. You know, and just the words, you know, the cadence of the music, and it's like, whoa, okay, this is timely. This is timely.
Time ago, long, long time ago,
long time ago,
long, 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 long time ago,
long time ago,
Africa man would not they carry sheets,
long time ago,
they sheet inside big, big hole,
long time ago,
for Yoruba land in Ashalanga,
long time ago,
for Igbo land in Unusi,
long time ago,
for Hausa land in Asalunga,
long time ago,
for Galand in Atiafi, Ashanti land in Ayani,
long time ago.
For Ethiopia land in Sakarabet,
long time ago.
For Kikuyu land in Chocho,
long time ago.
For Bemba land in Chimbunzi,
long time ago.
For Tonga land in Ichibunzi,
long time ago.
Long, 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 long time ago.
Long time ago.
Africa man would not they carry sheet,
long time ago.
We dey sheet inside big, big hole. For them come force us away as slaves.
ITT Part 2. I love it. Anything else, good brother?
And I'm even thinking now of Wynton Marsalis.
Okay.
Super capitalist.
Hmm.
I'm going to the Google.
Thank you. see. Give it to me, I got to have it all for me. Let me see that, I think there's something there for me. Give it to me, I got to have it all for me. I got to have, no. A lot of stuff, expensive fluff, wow. I got to work, I got to get, no. A brand new thing, I'm worshipping, wow. I got to make, I got to get green. Give me my feet, I got to be mean. There's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. There's always some more. Oh, where are you hiding it? It's never. Give it, give it, give it that. Give it this, give it that. Give it that, give it that. Give it this, give it that. That, 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 that.
The music of Wynton Marsalis. Super capitalism. Oh, yes, another excellent choice, good brother.
And in the meantime, for me, a timeless song is What's Going On.
Mm.
We've used it before in our message in the music and conversations during our in the Clear broadcast. Marvin Gaye and then others have covered it. And I like Audra. Is it Andra Day? The Rise song.
Mm.
And actually, that's our time for today. Please continue to listen to our broadcast the first Sundays of the month on KZI 88.7 FM. On behalf of the good brother, Dr. John A. Oliver, I'm Willie Sue Anderson, a.k.a. Dr. Sunshine, encouraging you to stay vigilant, stay woke, and please stay safe, and always stay in the clear.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Signs. Don't punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see.
I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh.